यमुना तीरवनचारि यमुना तीरवनचारि जय राधा माधव कुंज बिहारी गोपी जना वल्लभ गिरिवर धारी यशोदानंदन व्रज जनरंजन यमुना तीरवनचारि यमुना तीरवनचारि जय राधा माधव कुंज विहारी जय गोपी जन वल्लभ गिरिवर धारी यशोदानंदन व्रज जनरंजन यमुना तीरवनचारि जय राधा माधव कुंज बिहारी
जय ओम विष्णुपाद परमहंस परिव्राजकाचार्य अष्टोत्तर शत श्री श्रीमद हिज डिवाइन ग्रेस ए सी भक्ति वेदांत स्वामी श्रील प्रभुपाद की जय अनंत कोटि वैष्णव वृंद की जय ग्रंथराज श्रीमद भागवतम की जय ऑल ग्लोरीज टू द असेंबल्ड डिवोटीज ऑल ग्लोरीज टू द असेंबल्ड डिवोटीज ऑल ग्लोरीज टू श्री श्री गुरु एंड गौरांग ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ग्रंथराज श्रीमद् भागवतम कैंटो 5 चैप्टर 3 ऋषभदेवस अपीयरेंस टेक्स्ट नंबर 6 परिजाना अनुराग विरचित शबल संशब्द शलित सित कीसलय तुलसिका दुर्वांकुरैर अपि संभृतया सपर्यया किल परम परितुष्यसि ट्रांसलेशन एंड पुरपोर्ट बाय श्रील प्रभुपाद की जाय ओ सुप्रीम लॉर्ड यू आर फुल इन एवरी रिस्पेक्ट यू आर सर्टनली वेरी सैटिस्फाइड व्हेन योर डिवोटीज ऑफर यू प्रेयर्स विद फॉल्टरिंग वॉइसेस एंड इन एक्सटेसी ब्रिंग यू तुलसी लीव्स वाटर twigs bearing new leaves and newly grown grass. This surely makes you satisfied. Purport. One does not need great wealth, education, or opulence to satisfy the Supreme Personality of Godhead. If one is fully absorbed in love and ecstasy, he need offer only a flower and a little water. As stated in Bhagavad Gita, Patram Pushpam Phalam Toyam Yo Me Bhaktya Prayachati. If one offers me with love and devotion a leaf, a flower, fruit or water, I will accept it. Bhagavad Gita, Chapter 9, Text 26. The Supreme Lord can be pleased only by devotional service. Therefore, it is said here that the Lord is surely satisfied by devotion and nothing else. Quoting from the Gautamiya Tantra, the Hari Bhakti Vilasa states, Tulasi dala matre na jalasya chuluke nava vikrini te swam atmanam bhakte bhyo bhaktavatsalaha. Quote, Shri Krishna, who is very affectionate towards his devotees, sells himself to a devotee who offers merely a tulasi leaf and a palm full of water. End quote. The Supreme Lord is causelessly merciful upon his devotee, so much so that even the poorest of men can offer him a little water and a flower in devotion and thus please him. This is due to his affectionate dealings with his devotees. Om Ajnana Timirandhasya Gyananjana Salakaya Chaksur Unmilitam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manobhishtam Sthapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamahyam Dadati Svapadantikam Vancha Kalpa Tarubhyascha Kripa Sindhu Bhya Evacha Patitanam Bhavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Shrivasadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna. We hear that Krishna is very hungry for love. And we also hear that very Krishna is Atma Rama, just like his pure devotees. Atma Rama means completely satisfied within oneself. Here the verse begins with, O Supreme Lord, you are full in every respect. So because he is completely satisfied in himself, there is nothing external that he needs from anything or anyone to feel a sense of completeness. On the other hand, the conditioned living entity, owing to being separated from Krishna, or owing to forgetting his relationship with Krishna, feels a void. And that void manifests. That how does one know that there is that void? The symptom of that void is that one pursues sense gratification. The senses become very active for gratification when the heart feels a void. On the other hand, for a person who has or who is in relationship with Krishna, that void is addressed. Because Krishna, when one has Krishna, one has everything else. Then the senses are not mad. They're not hankering. The senses are subdued. They become tamed. It's called Dhamma. Shamo Dhamma. Dhamma means subdued or tamed. The senses, they are controlled, because they're not looking for gratification. So Krishna here, he doesn't want anything. He has everything. In fact, he's the source of everything. Yet, what he always looks for, and he, in fact we can say Krishna hankers for, is loving exchanges. And it's not like that's the void in him. You know, he has the money, he has the girls, he has the nice house, but he just doesn't have love, and that's what he's hankering for. No. By nature, he's happy with loving exchanges. That's all he cares for. Other things are not relevant. A person who's already very happy can become happier. It's not that they've reached a limit of their happiness. So when the devotees offer to Krishna with love, then Krishna becomes happier. In the conditioned soul's case, when he or she gets something, the first order of business is they have to get happy, because they are starting from a state of moroseness or lamentation or feeling deprived. So one has to do many things to at least come to the stage of happiness in the mode of ignorance, mostly thinking that is happiness. So here the verse is patram pushpam phalam toyam yome bhaktya prayachati tadashnami prayatatmanah. Krishna says, I accept it. If one offers a leaf, a flower, a fruit, or some water with love, that's the operating principle, with love. So to please God, who is the source of everything, to please Krishna, one doesn't need great wealth, education, or opulence. Because a fruit, a flower, and water is available everywhere. It's very easy to do. And if one doesn't find any water, just let the rain fall. Even that gives us water. And that can be offered to Krishna. There are streams, springs, etc. Water can be offered to Krishna. What it means is that Krishna is not into these material things. Generally, a relationship, when we say, according to Rupa Goswami's teachings, dadati pratigrahnati, the one has to give something and receive gifts. Generally, I don't want to digress into gift giving because that can be a pretty funny topic, but gifts are things that people give because they're motivated by something else. By giving a gift, one is, in many cases, one is looking for acknowledgement of being present in a relationship. It's a message that they send, or perhaps they send a message that I'm willing to or open to being in a relationship. Sometimes gifts are given to one up the other person who's also given a gift. My sister gave someone a gift that was $100 worth. I have to give a gift that is $150 worth so that I'll be remembered first. And so what happens is, although the reason for giving gifts is to please the receiver, it is motivated by the void in one's heart. So conditioned souls like us, we are traversing the universe carrying this void in heart and trying to fill it somehow or the other. And within that attempt to fill it somehow or the other, we find frustrations, we find disappointment, we find betrayal, we find not fully satisfying. Because within relationships, there is an expectation. or there are expectations. And those expectations is what we're looking to be filled. When I am in this relationship, I am expecting something to come from the other person. Because I'm carrying something that I don't have. I'm walking around with a void that needs to be filled. And as long as those expectations are there, they will be frustrating. Because there is no individual in the universe who can fulfill that void except Krishna. There's no other person. It's not possible. Because the source, unless it's the emanation, unless it's connected back to the source, it doesn't find its place. So to find our place is the most important thing. We try to find our place, we fit in, you know, it's like a square peg in a round hole or something like that. And we try to fit it in, and although it may fit in, it doesn't fit in perfectly. We may find ourselves in a relationship or relationships, and they're okay, it's not too bad. But yet it's not the most satisfying, because one will look for something else to fill that void. So a person, in the Bhagavatam, such a person who doesn't have that void is called Atmavan. Atmavana means one who is carrying the bliss of the soul. One who's realized the bliss of the soul. In its pure state, the soul is blissful, because in the pure state, it is in its right position. It's in its right place. So Krishna is always in his right place. So he is not looking for things to satisfy him. So he says, well, if you give me water, fruit, one leaf, I'm okay. In fact, one devotee had explained that if you read carefully, Krishna is also not even asking in the plural. He's only saying one fruit, one leaf, one flower. Because the Sanskrit is singular. It's called patram. In plural it is patrani, pushpam pushpani, phalam phalani. That's plural. He's asking in singular. It means you just give me one and that's good enough for me. So Krishna's not expecting anything. The bar of his expectation is so low that anything anybody would do, Krishna would be saying, very nice, I'm very happy. In our relationships, the bar of expectation is very high. So it doesn't matter how much a person will do, they will never stack up to our expectation. So we're not satisfied. But Atmavans are such persons. Their bar of expectation is very, very, very low. So anything is very pleasing. We know the famous story. Krishna, he's not attracted by great wealth or great education or opulence. Duryodhana and Vidura's story, right? Duryodhana organized for a very fantastic reception for Krishna. Constructed a palace, got the best cooks, had a lineup of bhoga for Krishna. Everything perfectly organized. Brahmanas reciting mantras, the whole thing, whole nine yards. Krishna didn't even look at it. He walked straight away from it and knocked on the doors of Vidura. And Vidura's wife was in such ecstasy to see Krishna that she opened the door, her eyes were filled with tears, and gave him a place to sit, and in that happiness peeled a banana, which, by the way, Krishna likes banana very much, peeled the banana, threw the banana away and gave him the peel. And as if that were not enough, Krishna didn't say, okay, thank you, I accept the peel, that was a very nice loving gesture from your side. He started eating the peel with great relish. And so that's what he's looking for. He's looking for Prabhupada would sometimes say, I believe, that he is not only looking for what you're giving, he's also looking for what you have held back. We hold back. We hold back because of many reasons. Insecurity, not sufficient trust, whatever is the reasons we hold back. What if Krishna, you know, at the right moment, he may not show up? You know, in the olden days, when the devotees were in difficulty, there was no traffic, Krishna came fast. But nowadays, either on the ground or in the air, there is so much traffic. What if he gets delayed? My problem is immediate. I didn't get my prasadam. The problem has to be solved right now. Such an immediate problem. Draupadi, you know what? So what if her sari was being taken away? I don't have prasadam to eat. My problem is more urgent. So there's something that we don't fully think that Krishna can make it, or that he can satisfy. So it's nice that regularly we meditate on Krishna's qualities. Here he's being talked about, bhaktebhyo bhaktavatsalaha. Krishna only cares to take care of his devotee. He doesn't care for anything else. In fact, the other things are not even in his consideration. When the few weekends ago, when there was the gathering of different devotees, one of the Matajis, who was very nervous to read her her part, in fact, she was nervous. She ran down saying, I'm not going to do this. But I think with some convincing, her husband's support, she came. And she picked a fantastic verse from, this is Lord Vishnu speaking to Durvasa Muni, that in my heart is only my devotee, and in my devotee's heart only I reside. There is nothing else going on. And the purport, very nice, when, of course I'm digressing a little bit, when the purport Prabhupada writes that when a person offends a devotee, then one is directly striking Krishna's heart, because that's where the devotee resides. So Krishna only cares about loving exchanges. Everything else is irrelevant. Whether we give something or we don't give something. Whether we make it grand or we make it simple. Yet, from a devotee's side, Prabhupada teaches us that we should serve according to our means. Just because Krishna says one fruit, one flower, suppose a very rich man who has all the facility gives Krishna one leaf or one fruit, that's like slapping Krishna on the face. Because he has the facility. This verse is Krishna's bar, which is very low, that even one fruit, even one leaf, even a little water, I'm very satisfied by. That means anything above is also okay for him. In the Govardhan pastime, when he appeared as Haridev, and they were offering, and how much bhoga did they bring? They brought everything that they had. Every individual member's pantry was completely cleared out. Massive quantities of all the residents of Vrindavan, they cooked in huge quantities. I mean, we don't see vessels of that size because there aren't. You know how they cook dal? I never knew until so recently, about a few years ago. We went to Yajigram and it was a festival for Srinivas Acharya. So they were cooking dal. I was flabbergasted when I saw their cooking pot. They don't have a cooking pot because there isn't a vessel so big. So they dig a big hole in the ground. And it's nicely cemented, or some casting is there. So it's a nice, like a small swimming pool, if you will. And under that, they put a bunch of logs of wood and light them. And that's their cooking pot, right in the ground. And the quantity of dal that they stir up is unbelievable. Unbelievable. So they had brought like that. One village after one village, one village after one village. And in one shot, he had everything up. And he said, Anyor, I want some more. Huh? Okay, those villages, please bring for Krishna. Some more. And they brought all those quantities. Anyor, I want some more. Next, another seconds, please. Thirds. Then Balaram had to tell them, of a little tulsi leaf, you'll be very satisfied. So when they offered tulsi leaf, he said, ah, satisfied. Here it says, tulsi dala matrena. Because when one offers tulsi, it's not that particular leaf, which it is, but the meaning is that, ah, Krishna, I'm offering you something that you like very much. And what you like is love. Tulsi Devi loves you very much and you love Tulsi very much, and that's what we are doing. So offering Tulsi is that gesture that Krishna is very attracted by and attracted to. And Krishna is Bhaktavatsala. Even this verse from Hari Bhakti Vilasa, when Srila Advaita Acharya, this is one of those verses when Advaita Acharya knew that Krishna is very satisfied with a palmful of water and tulsi leaves. He offered these to his Shaligram and loudly called out to the Supreme Personality to please appear. The advent of Kali Yuga had progressed very badly. I mean, if Advaita Acharya were to see today, Advaita Acharya thought that was terrible. I'm sure even now he thinks this, wow. But at least Lord Chaitanya has appeared. So he called out. And later, after Lord Chaitanya appeared, he did his pastimes, he took sannyas. And then once they all were bathing in Narendra Sarovar. In Narendra Sarovar, Lord Chaitanya's devotees, they break the mold of proper behavior. Until then, they're all like brahmanas. Very clean, pure, nice speech, and very, I guess, well-behaved. When they jumped into Narendra Sarovar, they were frolicking like anything. Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya, who was like this strict puji, he was playing in the water. Lord Chaitanya was splashing water on him. He was splashing water on Lord Chaitanya. And then he said, oh, I was just this bhyo-bhyo person who just spoke, dry philosophy. And really didn't relish the wonderful exchanges with devotees. Advaita Acharya lies down in the water and Lord Chaitanya lies down on him. And they float together because he is playing the role of Anantasesha. So like that, there's this beautiful pastimes. But Advaita Acharya is known to have been the person who appealed to Krishna to come. Simply by offering tulsi and a palmful of Ganges water. So Krishna's attention immediately is captured when something is offered with love. On the other hand, making elaborate arrangements are also very nice and they're required. But the ingredient, the special ingredient is bhakti. In this verse in Bhagavad Gita, the word bhakti appears twice. That means there is emphasis on it. Yome bhaktya prayachari tadaham bhakti upaharutam ashnami prayatatmanah. So Krishna is emphasizing on loving exchanges with him. So these brahmanas who are seeing the Lord face to face, that's what they're expressing, that it's not these grand arrangements and all that. You're attracted by love. In the final is in the prayers of the residents of Jambudvipa, when they offer prayers to Lord Narasimhadev, those two famous verses, the verse after that, they ask for a benediction. And they say that Madara Agara Atmaja Vitta Bandushu. The word Ma means not. So they're saying, please let us not have attachment to wife, property, children, friends, relatives, society. Sango Yadi Syat, if we have to anyway be attached, Bhagavat Priyeshunaha, let us be attached to those who are dear to you. And then the next line says, Ya Prana Vritya Paritushta Atmavan. That one who has made the goal of his life to be Atmavan, meaning satisfied in oneself, Siddhiti, he becomes perfect, Adurat, very quickly. Natatha Indriya Priyaha. But a person who is trying to satisfy his senses, doesn't matter how long, doesn't matter how long, he can never be satisfied. You can never become satisfied. So this Atmavan quality is very important to cultivate. Being satisfied. In our relationships with each other, being satisfied. Even if something little is done, being satisfied. Without severe expectations from each other. And within, and that is not because we want to, excuse me, it is not because we don't want others to exchange with us, is we cultivate our own sense of lowering our expectations with others. However, in certain relationships, there are expectations. There are no material expectations, but there are spiritual expectations. For example, initiation, or the relationship between guru and disciple. The fact that the disciple has made certain commitments, I will do this, I will do this, I will do this, I will not do this, I will not do this, etc. The guru to expect the disciple to operate according to his word or her word is proper. It is not, said differently, it's not okay to say, I am your disciple, but I will not do things that I said I would do. It's not okay. So the guru can expect, the parent can expect from the child certain behaviors that match the rules of the house. That expectation is there and must be followed. Because there is a pact of a relationship, there's an understanding, I'm in this relationship. The day a person says, I don't want to have a relationship, then those expectations go away naturally. But it's not okay, I'm just saying the same thing different ways, it's not okay to want the relationship but not meet the commitments or expectations that I said I would meet. That's not okay. That violates the very foundation of the relationship. So from the guru's side, that's not the expectation. There's another thing about expectation, that's the final thing. Final in my presentation. In the conditioned state, if I have an expectation from someone, that expectation is for my need. But in the spiritual relationship between spiritual master and disciple, or between devotee and devotee, and Krishna and the devotees, the expectation is for the devotee. It is that expectation is not to satisfy the receiver's need. That's the important thing to know. When it is a material expectation, it is bound to be frustrating. But the spiritual expectation is for the benefit of that person. So Prahlad Maharaj offers such a prayer to Lord Narasimhadev. Oh my Lord, you don't need anything from us. Yet, when something is offered to you, that is for the benefit of the person making the offering. And he gives an analogy, just as when a person decorates himself, even the reflection is decorated. So Lord Narasimhadev or Krishna, they don't need anything. By our offering, it is we who are benefiting. So in spiritual relationships, by our offering our love in that relationship, we are benefiting. We shouldn't think that we are benefiting someone else. On the other hand, as a devotee, when we receive something from someone, a little service, a gesture, gift, appreciation, we don't think, go on, it is for your benefit, keep doing. We accept it humbly that this is a devotee's gesture, means I should now look for opportunities to reciprocate. And we'll end with one pastime of Govinda, who was the servant of Ramanujacharya. One day Govinda was sitting with some devotees, and those devotees were glorifying Govinda. You are such a wonderful servant. You do so much nice service for Srila Ramanujacharya. And Govinda said, speak more. So they were glorifying him even more. Then someone else started. He said, speak more. Glorify more. Glorify more. So generally devotees say, please, it's okay, don't glorify. But he said, don't glorify more. Please do more, more. So Ramanujacharya came to the scene and he was shocked. It's like, what is going on? A devotee who is naturally humble doesn't like to hear his own praises. So he asked, he pulled Govinda to his side and said, Govinda, what is this? You're encouraging people to glorify you more and more? What are you doing? He said, they don't understand that any quality that I have is because of you. So when they are being miserly in their glorification, they are being very miserly in glorifying you, my spiritual master. So I'm encouraging them to glorify more. It's not me, they're glorifying you. I see it as glorification of you because I'm just a nobody. And if they're seeing something, it's because of you. So I want to encourage them to glorify more. So the pastime ends with a warning that let's not try that. let's not try, my guru glorification. It doesn't like it. I mean, if it's genuine, that mood is there, that's fantastic. But somewhere we want a little share of things. And that's risky. Okay, thank you very much. Any comments, questions? Yeah.
Krishna, this is the first part of the discussion. Krishna doesn't expect anything from us materially because nothing materially can satisfy Krishna.
Correct. And anyway, it's all his anyway.
But it does seem that Krishna does expect us to offer things to him in terms of our highest potential.
That's right.
And Krishna prema.
That's right. Well, we don't operate on our highest potential because we haven't achieved our highest potential. So for us, the highest potential is wherever we are at. That is working to the fullest of our capacity. Now we know whether we are holding back or not. I mean, that's clear to us. So Krishna looks at how we are acting in that relationship, in that situation. The famous pastime is between Hanuman and the little spider. Hanuman had capacity and he was throwing these big boulders. The spider was kicking a little dust. And Lord Ramachandra said, both are working at full capacity, so both are doing equal service as far as I'm concerned. So our capacity, whatever is our capacity, within that, you know, we may not be, at least I know for myself, I may not be able to stand in front of Krishna and come up with this choicest of prayers that have all philosophical nuances and perfectly composed. It's not possible. The prayer that at best, you know, I find myself offering is, whatever happens, don't kick me away from your association of devotees. Or it may be very circumstantial. Today, you know, I slipped my tongue and said something bad to the devotee. I'm very sorry. I try to improve myself. Or I find myself rushing through something. Please help me that I can be more, whatever. This is not about it. And that's it. And that's what's there. And that's all I'm offering. The devotee standing next to me may be offering some fantastic prayer. That's their realization. And Krishna is pleased with that too. But this is Bhaktivinoda Thakur's teaching in Bhakti Aloka. If one is at this stage of bhakti, but they operate on this stage, and they apply rules and regulations that belong to a lower stage, then they will fall to that stage. So we know what we can do. And Krishna's asking for us to give that without the worry or concern. Whatever is there, you give, and I'm happy to take that. That's Krishna's expectation, that you can give more love. You're being a miser. So then he gives us opportunities to extract that love from us. Because that's all he cares about, is extracting it from us. Even Draupadi, since we mentioned Draupadi Devi in this, as long as the Dushyasana was pulling her sari away, she tried. She tried with her hands, one hand, with putting the sari between her teeth, as if teeth are stronger than her hands, but like that, holding it back. Finally she had to say, no, this is it. So for us, that this is it, maybe a different levels of it. But you know, my dear Krishna, I have a whole, I'm thinking about yesterday for me and today for you, I guess today, just for the sake of discussion. Packed day. What to do? I had to just sit quietly and chant, and I said, this is all I can offer right now, is let me chant and please give me the strength and capacity. And he's, yesterday was a thing slowed down, and there was some oxygen to breathe. Some days it may not be like that. So what Krishna likes, that loving exchange, is, my dear Krishna, please help. I need your help. At wherever we are, offering love, that's nice. And that will also come. Am I hitting the mark here, or am I missing?
Yeah.
Right.
And the squirrel is offering with love.
That's right.
So the offering is the same because they're on the same platform in terms of Krishna consciousness, although capacity is different. But with us, it's not like less capacity, but the consciousness is also much less.
And wherever it is, within that, love manifests differently for different persons. For somebody, there may be actual affection or feelings. Krishna must be hungry, or Krishna likes to be offered this way. Another person, it may just be, I committed to a service and I have to do that. That's love, just in different stages of unfolding or maturity. Or I gave my word, I have to stick to my word. That's because I made a commitment. That's good too. Krishna sees that. Yeah.
Then Krishna is seeing the quality of our surrender.
That's right.
And surrender is not exactly full-blown Krishna conscious love, but it's like the
surrender is a feature of love.
Feature of love, but before the world, the full-blown thing comes up, it's just like degrees of surrender, which is indication of love is being extracted more and more.
Or developing it is slowly. Yeah. For example, a new devotee, like a brand new person, they come in. They don't have love, but they grow. Why? Some devotee says, do this. Oh, I'd like to do some seva. And you see they're unfolding. And a person who may be actually some years into the movement, they don't move so fast. Why is that? Because somewhere that expression of love through enthusiasm, these are things that show Krishna the facets of our love, enthusiasm, determination, nishchaya, patience, our readiness to follow previous acharyas and higher authorities, following of regulative principles, the Rupa Goswami. And he says, bhaktir prasiddhyati. These are things that make bhakti flourish. In another verse, Lord Kapila says that love grows in degrees or progressively. Shraddha, ratir, bhaktir, anukramishyati. So these are all facets of that love. I've heard this example, I'm sure you have, that tulasi plant, when it first sprouts with two leaves, that's also a tulsi plant. But it's not the same as the one that we have upstairs, massive, manjaris like anything. That's also tulsi, this is also tulsi. The utility of this tulsi may be limited in the sense of, if I pluck those two leaves away, she might not survive. But we let her flourish. But it's also tulsi and that's also tulsi. So this is also love, that's also love. This is mature love. This is very, what's the opposite of mature? Immature. Not immature love, but yeah, just the beginning of it. And it has only two leaves. This has many facets.
Yeah, I guess when it was registering for me a lot in the last few weeks, 3 weeks, is surrender and love.
Yeah. Right. Ashraya Prabhu. Who, you have to catch a train? Is that the rush? No train. No train at all. Die. No train. Only training.
I was thinking you were talking about spiritual expectations on it. From the side of the person who makes a commitment in a relationship, it's very clear that the expectations should be upheld, because otherwise, what's your commitment? Or at least you're not trying to make the relationship work. Excuse me. But from the side of a spiritual person, the word expectation doesn't seem to make any sense. It's like they know what your capacity is. Like Krishna knows, if I say to Krishna, I'm going to do something one day, and he's laughing at me, you know, he's like, you're not going to be able to do that. But he accepts, you know, I'm making some effort to, you know, it's like utsahamayi maybe, but Krishna's like, okay, at least you're trying. You know.
That's not a commitment. Really. We don't take initiation with utsahamayi.
Yeah.
We should not.
Most people do.
No, I don't agree.
That's the you know, the fruit proves the activity. So you know, from our side, we always have to make our expectations. But the word expectation doesn't seem to make sense from the side of a spiritual person. So maybe you could talk more about what that side of it is.
No, I don't have more to say. I said expectation is not for their fulfillment, it is expectation for us. Now, we may have a idea of what the word expectation means to us, but that's not what we're talking about. If Krishna's expectation is not from Arjuna to follow his duty, he would not speak the Bhagavad Gita. He said, Klaibhyam ma smagama partha naivatad upapadyate. He chastised him that you are failing to do what you're committed to do. And so he called him Hridayadaru. He said, this weakness of heart, you have to give it up and do what is expected of you to do. That's expectation in that sense. Krishna didn't say, all right, you're a Kshatriya, you don't feel like fighting, I'm fine either way. This expectation in that sense, it is for Arjuna's benefit. So he made him meet that expectation. There's a very nice pastime in the Sakshi Gopal story. The elder Brahmana promised the younger Brahmana, I will give you my daughter in marriage. And when he came back home, he got swayed by his wife and son. And so he decided to renege on his promise. They told him, you just say you don't remember and we'll take care of it from there. So under that pressure, he said, no, I don't remember. And if you hear the story, it seems like the young Brahmana took it upon himself to go to Gopal all the way to Vrindavan and offer these prayers and bring Gopal to Ramuna. And it's not because he fell in love with the older Brahmana's daughter. It's not that. He expresses why he did that. A Brahmana gave his word, and if that Brahmana's word is not upheld, religious principles will die. To keep that word up, he invited Gopal to come. So that's the expectation. He made a word, he should stick to it for his own good. So it's expectation is the word I'm using. You can use something else if you like, but I'll stay with that word.
Yeah, the what it conjures is that the person doesn't know that the capacity is not there. It's like the question he's asking. Krishna's expecting us to follow the instructions of Bhagavad Gita. He's not really expecting us to follow it, you know what I'm saying? He knows whether we're going to be able to do it or not. That's why he picked Arjuna. He could have picked somebody else and said, I'm expecting you to follow it, and that would have been a waste of time, right? So he's expecting all of us to follow.
I think the message of the Bhagavad Gita is not that he picked Arjuna, because Arjuna was also bewildered in that sense. He's expecting that a person who has a good relationship, good instruction, regardless of bewilderment, can move up or should move up. In that sense, maybe you're emphasizing expectation in a particular way that my dull brain's not getting. I don't know what else to say. Yeah.
Maybe to help it be more clear for me, at least, is the word expectation for us is defined that we're expecting a particular reciprocation, like you were describing. We have some expectation, and if the person doesn't say howdy bol to me or whatever, then we get upset. That's not the kind of expectation that is coming from the other side, that there's a particular thing that I want to get, that's what you were saying. They're not looking for something for themselves.
Yeah, that's what I explained.
They're looking for the person for something for themselves. But that has no time-bound aspect to it, or, you know, it's not material, so there's a different...
Yeah.
I mean, it's totally different idea. So the word expectation, whatever, I'm not arguing about the word. I don't care about the word. Talking about the concept.
And I think I explained that concept. Maybe I missed or failed, but that was the concept I was explaining, that the expectation from Krishna or spiritual personalities is not the same expectation that the conditioned persons have from each other. I mean, I don't know what I missed.
It's not for their pleasure. That's what I got very clearly from your question.
It is not for something that they're lacking, that it has to be filled.
Yeah, I got that part.
Okay.
Like you're saying, they recognize, okay, there's a little tulsi plant. In 10 years, it might be a tree. Fine.
So or not.
Or not. Maybe it'll die. I don't know. it has to come to prema. That's the expectation, right? So it has to be a big tree someday.
No. I think the guru's commitment is not that. The guru says, janma janma prabhu shai. It's not that the guru says, please try in this lifetime to fulfill that, but if he doesn't, then the guru's commitment is to keep coming again and again to, what's that word called, to deliver the disciple. So the time factor in that sense is not valid.
So this is the getting to help me understand the point better. That's what I was talking more about.
Oh.
Because the word, just what's the expectation? In all of eternity, somehow you will fulfill your, you know, it's not, it's the word expectation is kind of like limiting.
You like another word?
No, I'm just saying, like, how, it's hard to call it an expectation when Krishna gives instructions like Bhagavad Gita, but he just knows that this is going to take you forever, but at least you'll come eventually to the point, you know, it's like, he wants that for us, but he's not like waiting, like, come on.
Yeah.
Like that. Is it right?
Yeah, that is right. And I think that's what I explained. So I'm having difficulties. You're just confirming or adding? I'm honestly lost here.
Did you hear that in the particular section where you were just when we make a spiritual commitment, like say we make a commitment to Krishna.
I did say about initiation making commitments, and I did qualify that when we make a commitment to the guru and the deity, that it is expected that we will follow that. That expectation is an indicator of the trust being put in us. It is not that because I took initiation, I made a vow, the guru tells another servant, always be with him and make sure he's following the regulative principles. Always make sure, wherever he goes, make sure he's not eating meat or intoxicated. I expect that since you made that commitment, you'll follow it like that.
You're using the word trust now, so that's a different...
And I explained. I explained the word expectation has these connotations. Can we move on?
It's clear.
Okay. Can we move on still? Yaya has been waiting. Shriman Yaya. Okay. Whew. It's not working anyway. It's just for decoration.
So Krishna is the supreme controller, so he expects certain things from all the spiritual masters, but naturally you shouldn't expect anything from Krishna, not
My mind doesn't run at the same speed. Why does Ashleshava Padaratam appear at that time? It's an Atmanivedana verse. I mean, there are, I'm sure if 50 devotees sat here, they will give you 50 different angles of why it is, and still, you know, it's like the Atmarama verse. Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya gave 9 explanations, and Chaitanya Mahaprabhu gave 64 more explanations. So, naturally, I cannot encompass all the meanings of Shikshashtaka. This is the Supreme Lord speaking. But one of the ways I've understood is it's an Atmanivedana verse. That is, untethering the Lord from any expectation from my side. Yet I'm fully committed in that relationship. That's the full-blown love. Unconditional love. Conditional love means if, then, if this way, then that way. Some condition is there. In this, there is no condition. No condition at all. However, Krishna, you reciprocate or not. In fact, you may even, it says, make me brokenhearted. And that is fine. That's fine for me. I mean, this is a mighty verse, so I'm just giving you like a 30-second headline.
So my question, I was, you said,
is there a reason for class you sat here, for question you went all the way there? Which speaker, that one or this one? I don't know how Krishna is orchestrating for you in your life. I don't have that insight. I can't say.
Well, so my question is actually, how can we go about identifying? So if we're not able to fully appreciate the association we have, and you were saying that that's because there's expectations, materialistic expectations in the relationship, but we may delude ourselves by thinking, I don't have materialistic expectations, you know, but I don't have any appreciation either. So clearly I do have some. I'm working with an expectation.
It's not... The block is not always material expectation. There could be other blocks. Not knowing how to interact, not knowing how to serve, not knowing how to receive love. There are so many other blocks. We shouldn't think that the only block in devotee relationship is material expectations. If I got rid of that block, it's a steeplechase. There are so many other hurdles. Owing to a whole network of misconceptions from lifetimes and lifetimes, and this lifetime included. So that's only one of the hurdles. So someone may have crossed that hurdle. I don't have expectations from others. Then there may be a deeper level of what is it that we're looking for. So, for example, Ashraya used the example, if I don't say Haribol to someone, they're not bothered. I'm not bothered if someone said Haribol to me or not. That may be the case. But there may be something else that's blocking. Can I say it differently again? don't look for a unidimensional thing. The blockage in the heart is a multidimensional thing. If it's not material expectations, it may be something else. And for each one of us, it's a journey, it's an individual journey like that. There are many things in the heart, like it's a network of multidimensional blockages. Luke's been... No? Asher?
Yes, but I didn't have it clear. That Maharaj was talking about this when he did the Christmas, how to appreciate Christmas or whatever the thing was he did at the end of the Christmas retreat that day. He was talking about the difference between Jesus Christ and like Vasudev Datta. And he said Vasudev Datta doesn't have any expectations at all, or conditions is the word that he used. He said Vasudev Datta is saying, I will give myself to suffer for the deliverance of all the living entities, you know, for eternity or whatever. And, you know, and he gave the juxtaposition. Jesus is saying, if you believe in me, yada, yada, yada. That's Maharaj's words. I don't know anything so deeply about these personalities. So that's what I'm, that's kind of the idea that I'm getting at. It's not like Vasudev Datta doesn't want the conditioned souls to advance in Krishna consciousness, but his disposition is, that's not a condition for me. So from that side, it's not an expectation in that sense, although he wants them to be successful. Does it make sense now?
No, it makes sense. Yes.
Okay. It doesn't mean like we shouldn't uphold our initiation vows. It means like the character of such a personality is that they're not, that's not what their aim is to extract even that from you. They just are giving because they want to give. Whether you reciprocate or not, that's not the reason why they're doing it. That's what I understand. From that particular example, at least, Vasudev Datta.
Yeah, I'm not disagreeing.
All the living entities, they're not going to reciprocate, you know?
Yeah, I'm not disagreeing at all.
Okay. So that was, maybe it's different levels of personalities that we would even be talking about in that case. Vasudev Datta is Vasudev Datta, I don't know. Maybe that's another aspect of the point.
Mm-hmm.
Is true or no?
What is true, that there are different grades of personalities?
That,
sure,
that
they're
be,
perfect, more perfect, most perfect. Yeah.
So maybe that's the, when you say spiritual personality, we can talk about me or we can talk about, I'm not a spiritual personality, I guess that's the wrong example, but we can talk about, you know, I don't know, one person, or we can talk about Vasudev Datta, or we can talk about Srila Prabhupada or whatever, and it doesn't have to necessarily mean the same thing for all of those people.
Yeah, that statement is also true.
Okay. Thank you.
You're welcome. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Srimad Bhagavatam.